check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule!
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Hello and welcome to episode 82 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the FantasyAmateurs.com. I'm Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. I'm joined today by a man who ordered a whole case of Steph's curry powder, but it just made him choke. Joe Osachi.
I like that joke. You've never made me laugh before on one of those.
I'm impressed with myself.
Oh god, I assume you Googled that joke.
I just made it up.
I hope so.
I really did.
You better not have made...
I swear. I was looking for... I was. You guys were blah, blah, blah and about the wire before the show, and I was trying to think of something witty to say.
And that's what you came up
that's
with?
I even Googled stuff to steal other people's stuff. I'm like, that's not funny. I'm going to make my own joke.
Well, I'm a big NBA fan, so the topical NBA humor is going to get me every time.
Yeah,
so.
It was Game 7, and I know you... We always talked... Well, it was just me versus you guys, basically, because you both actually cared about the finals.
Yeah.
Whereas I did not. I just watched Game of Thrones and baseball.
Yeah, he doesn't. Game 7 wasn't a match for Game of Thrones or whatever you call that television program for you. But,
that's right.
But as a stroke of good luck for us, we have our very own version of Timofey Mozgov here. That's his role that he fulfills on the podcast. We got Jesse Jordan pushing the buttons on the ones and twos.
They don't allow Timofey Mozgov to talk, so I almost feel like I should mute myself.
I wonder what he would sound like. What do you think he would sound like?
Die.
Yeah.
Rebound.
Really talk,
like
right?
Andre the Giant.
His name is Timofey.
Rebound.
Timofey. Rebound.
Rebound.
Shoot. Shot. Rebound.
You know, he actually wasn't that
bad. He's probably intelligent.
Like last year in the finals, you know, he was hitting jumpers. He was actually pretty good, and now he just didn't play one minute.
Timofey Drain Jay.
Yeah, he played last year because they were
very hurt,
diluted. Yeah. Like I thought it was really funny. Matthew Dellavedova never even got off the bench either.
Just,
and last year he was starting for them in the finals.
Starting and guarding Steph Curry. Yeah. Kind of nuts.
So, I will say that I only got to pretty much watch the last minute of the game, and even then it was like delayed. So my son was very needy that night, and I wasn't even able. And it's not even because of Game of Thrones. I didn't even choose that. I kind of was watching the game on my phone and Game of Thrones on my TV because my DirecTV stupid dispute that I've told you guys about.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got to watch the last minute. So I got to see Kyrie's three-pointer at least.
Oh, yeah.
But then
I missed the block though.
What, like 15 seconds? Yeah, like whatever.
Love
but then
block.
With 15 seconds left,
block, yeah,
or something like that. They're down by four. The Warriors are down by four. Yeah. And then I get a freaking notification across the top of my phone
that they won.
Saying the game is over. So I just shut it off. So I watched a lot of the first quarter. So I shouldn't say it's just the minute, but 1 minute, the last minute of what really mattered, because my kid really wanted. I don't know. I guess it was Father's Day.
Yeah.
So I mean, I did feel obligated to spend some time with him, but he was all over me that night. Like
I missed the first half for a much more embarrassing reason, which we probably shouldn't go into.
You're mowing the lawn?
No, I just like seriously, it was just a lot of. I needed to be in the bathroom.
Oh,
I could not be in the bathroom.
Joe hadn't had sex in a while. He had to go rub one out.
Just diarrhea like you wouldn't believe. I don't know what happened to me. Jesse enjoyed that.
Don't spit wine all over my carpet. That'll stain for sure.
I don't know what happened. Something I ate, but it was bad.
It's been a while.
Like, I wanted to be watching the game, but it was just like every 2 seconds, I'm like, oh, back to the toilet.
It's been a while since we've had a diarrhea discussion.
Oh, yeah. People love these. Yeah.
Yeah, classy.
It is classy.
We'll get emails on this for sure.
I'm sure.
Electric.
You know,
what do we call that? Diarrhea 2?
Electric Thunder Poo.
Electric Thunder Poo.
I mean, what did. What Glass. Was there to do? What did you guys used to do before you had phones that you could use on the throne in such circumstances?
Well, magazines, actually.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But
I never really had.
There's a finite amount of information that you can. Yeah.
I used to subscribe to ESPN the magazine, and that was the only time I ever looked at it.
I remember when I had paged through, my stack of Maxims 20 times or whatever I had in the bathroom next to the old throne.
Yeah,
I was relegated to like. Reading Windex bottles and stuff.
Yeah, you do stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, you pull out the shampoo.
Bottles out. Yeah. You pull bottles out from under. What's in here today? Oh, Mom bought a new bottle of lotion.
Drano.
This is going to be nice.
Let's see if I can pronounce all the words.
Let's take a look at this Drano and see
I will
that
say,
works.
Like, not to sound like too much of a nerd, but, you know.
You memorized the ingredients to Ajax?
No, I would do my studying on the pot.
Like, I don't know if that sounds
like
a nerd.
Back in high
or
school
gross.
Or, college days. You brought that. I mean, once I bought a laptop, then I would just take my laptop to poop.
Ooh, I'm glad I've never touched your laptop.
So. Yeah.
Well, not this one particularly.
Either way.
My college
I'm glad
one.
I haven't touched any of your laptops.
Well, every time you guys listen to the podcast, you're listening to
Let's not say that to the listeners out there and the viewers. Come on. Don't put that in there.
Are they viewers or listeners? I can't remember.
We should table
it. And when we talk on Skype, sometimes I'm in the bathroom.
Let's just stop this whole thing.
Just kidding.
At first, I wanted it to, but now I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'd started it, I guess, which is not typically what I do. But
what do you do, Joe?
I do the podcast.
No,
but
you don't do the podcast. We've established.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what I do anymore. I need a new thing that I do, but we know what I'm about.
Respect for women.
But now we know what Nate's about.
What's
that? I knew you'd forget. See,
I don't remember.
Yeah, but I do remember.
What was it?
Stealing jokes.
Oh yeah. Which is what we're doing right now.
Yes, it is a stolen. That is a stolen.
The whole I'm about thing.
We stole that whole bit.
That's a stolen.
Are you kidding me?
All this time.
You didn't know that.
I hate this show.
We stole that whole bit.
I am not listening to the Nasty Cast anymore.
Yeah, but like nobody's ever called us out on stealing that bit, so nobody realizes it.
We've plugged Mike and Tommy at Snacks plenty of times.
Well, I know, but man.
How have you not listened to that show, by the way?
I've been letting you guys get away with that one for 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, we've admitted it. We've admitted that. It so many times, but yeah, that's Mike and Tommy
stealing jokes,
right,
but not the about part. I didn't think.
Yep, that was one.
I know viewers is a stolen joke.
Also, Mike and Tommy Snacks.
You know, we could probably
and most
start,
of the rest of our jokes are from Comedy Bang.
We could
Bang.
Probably start periscoping when we do this and or tweet
I've
live, Facebook
thing,
live,
now.
Or and yeah, we just like
I would
Joffrey
only
podcast.
Do it if we did Meerkat.
Doing a
I
little
Meerkat.
Isn't that one of them? I don't know.
Meerkat, isn't that? Meerkatnip is a lady on
another podcast.
On other podcast.
That's on Tannis.
Boy, I don't get that.
She's
at all.
The computer hacker.
Wasn't there
lady.
Some kind of thing? I know Jim Gaffigan used to tweet that he was going on Meerkat. I don't know what that meant. I just ignored it.
If you,
I don't
if
know.
You
I don't
you'll
know.
See them now, like there's well, there's called Facebook Live. Well, you don't have Facebook, so.
Nope.
But if you ever see it like live next to their name, you actually click on it and it's their video.
Yeah, I've
from
noticed
the phone.
That now.
And then Twitter.
I've heard that some podcasts.
If you follow the Joffrey podcast, give them a free shout
great
out.
Great show, by the way.
It is. They're hilarious. So if you're a Game of Thrones listener, give the Joffrey podcast a listen. You'll enjoy them. But they do Periscope. So if you go through their Twitter feed, they actually plug their link right into their Twitter. And you can actually watch them right there.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
There, people actually listen to that show. So
I'd say they're relatively kind of a fan base like ours. I don't think it's as quite as big as you think it is.
Yeah, not huge, but
they're up there. I just think the people who listen to them really love them, and the people who don't listen to
them
really hate them.
They kind of tolerate our listeners. Kind of tolerate us.
Yeah, I think
ours rotate so much.
There's a few more Game of Thrones fans out there than Nasty Cast fans.
You mean?
I mean,
potentially.
If it's a pie chart,
fantasy baseball fans.
No, just our show.
Our show.
It's
well, if it's our show, I don't think we're even gonna make the pie. We're not even a slice No, we're not even a line across the circle pie chart.
If you took a microscope to the pie chart, you could maybe see.
I still don't
the
think.
Slice.
Yeah,
probably not.
You would need some kind of seeing device. Yes, perhaps the Hubble telescope.
I think one time we talked about like if you I said may have mentioned like if you take the timeline from L.A. if you put all the time of the world. On a line from L.A. to New York.
This has been your thing lately.
Like the last...
I like to harp on this.
It's like last, I don't remember how many, 2,000 years or something like that, is like the last like 12-mile trip to New York. And the rest of the time is, you know, way over here. And, but now I forgot what I was going to get to. Oh, but if you...
Solid point.
Like, you'd have to... That's how far you'd have to zoom in. You'd have to zoom in, like...
Through the last 12 miles to see our slice of the pie.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I was going with
I'm glad I could finish
So if this was a tablet, you would be doing this little, like, thumb, forefinger...
Yes.
That's why you should be periscoping.
Google Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
Google Earth would not...
Jesse and I are now... It looks like we're just flicking nipples or something like that.
Yes. See, Google Earth...
What do you call this move? There needs to be a name for this
swiping?
Move.
Swiping?
No, it's not a swipe.
Swiping.
That's just...
It's the reverse pinch.
This is... Yeah, the reverse pinch.
Spreading, maybe. Reverse
pinch,
but... Google Earth, you know how when you zoom in too far, it just turns into like a gray image and it says
pixels.
No,
yeah,
that's how far you'd have to zoom in to get the nasty cast line on a pie chart compared to Game of Thrones fans.
Yeah, I don't know if it's even possible to ever get there, but you know, whatever.
And there's a you know, a very, very small circle in the Venn diagram that links, you know, if we separated ours together.
I think we should talk more about pie charts and
Venn diagrams.
And other...
You know, without periscoping
this shit wasn't nerdy enough that we're talking about.
Do you know how hard it would be to describe a Venn diagram without periscope? I mean, that's why we need the periscope.
I think so, yes.
I'm going to have to go out...
Constantly be mooning the camera.
Maybe.
I couldn't stop myself.
Maybe I can convert R2 record 2, since we don't use them anymore, into a camera.
Record 2D2.
Record 2D2.
That was what he was called. But I mean, like, really, why would anybody want to watch people do a podcast? You just sit there.
You don't do much, really.
You just sit there.
Well, so you can see
the reverse pinch.
Yeah, that's true.
They would really... I love the reverse
pinch. You can see the... Like the in betweens and the things you talk about beforehand,
and
the things you talk about during breaks and things like that.
Sarongs during the podcast without underwear.
Yeah.
It's so wrong, it's right, Joe.
That is so wrong, it's right.
I think we've missed the cue on the segue about 10 times by now.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say that last one, he should have went to the email thing there.
It's
but
been a long time since we've talked about nothing for 10 minutes.
What's your favorite reverse nipple pin?
Email us, efantasyamateurs@gmail.com.
That's the first time I've got to do that.
That works. How does that make you feel?
I think I've actually done it one other time.
Probably.
I can't remember, though.
Nor can I. You can also tweet us at Fantasy Amateurs. There are also a finite amount of t-shirts remaining at thefantasyamateurs.com.
It is not infinite, no.
Another one will be shipped out tonight.
Another one
tomorrow.
Has bitten the dust. We're slowly running out.
I'm going to have the wife send it to our... Yeah, we're going to the Great White North. The t-shirts will now be international.
Chris McBrien never bought one, did he?
We're actually running out of sizes, I would say.
We could probably get
one. Never did, no.
Maybe. Yeah, we're running. We're getting low. We're below, you know.
So if you need a certain size, you better get on it.
All that's available
today,
all that's left is the mediums, large, and extra large. So you really, really tiny people.
We're out of smalls.
Gone.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage
is like... We're out of double X and higher. So.
You're lucky I stifled
myself. Double X's went just like that. I mean, we got a lot of fat listeners out there. Now I pissed everybody.
Well, I bought a lot
anymore,
of them.
We don't.
Yeah, now they're all quitting. Jesse bought 7.
I kind of cornered the market.
Cornered, yeah, that was the key.
One for each day of the week.
You eat a lot of buttery popcorn. There's just constant. There's just huge pools on each one of your shirts. You've gone through 7 of them already, right?
Yeah, and I wear them as undershirts when I work out. I work out often. I've only worked out like probably 7 times since we got the t-shirts.
I thought you were going to say ever.
Probably. Actually, I am lying, so it is ever.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, ever. Okay. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes if you get a spare moment. We love when that shit happens.
You know, that's like probably what we should say more even than the t-shirts, because like, when was the last time we got a rate and review?
I think it was like March.
That's a long time, listeners.
Well, at this point, I feel like the only reviews we'd get would be negative. So
yeah,
wait until next year so we can fool
somebody
else.
Wait until you hear the best one, your favorite Nasty Cast, and then review us, please.
What's your favorite Nasty Cast? email us.
Even if you just give it 5 stars and write meh in the description. That works.
It seems like disingenuous.
We could start reading them on the show. We did once get one from somebody. We got one from somebody who said...
So the next person that that reviews it, we will read it on the show and say your name and even talk...
Even if it's glowingly negative. About
you. Well, we'll do any review.
Whatever you say. The whole review could be like, Joe is gay and
the guy basically said...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
He gave us a 5-star review and said, hey, I don't agree with all the things these guys say.
That's an
but entertaining,
one you're talking about
now. Nonetheless. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He actually, somebody, like, they still gave us a 5-star review, basically said, we're average, but whatever. Yeah. They're 5-star.
We'll love you forever if you write awesome ones like Yancey did or our buddy Van.
Van Shipley,
yeah. Amazing reviews. Of course, the great Jacob.
No, Jacob, yeah. He wrote more than one, actually.
He did. And he's a lost soul right now.
Yeah, we don't know where he went.
He's floating around in Europe somewhere. God only knows what happened
still?
To him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get to the news, I was on the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast, so I just wanted to plug that real quick. That came out yesterday, so go check that out.
You actually sound a lot more excited to be here now than you did even promoting our show.
That was so funny. They
pretty disappointed when they finally talked about us. Nate's like, yeah, we do that. Yeah. They're like, how's things going on the NASCASM? I guess we still do that.
It's still a show.
I don't know why it came out that way.
I mean, yeah, we do that, I suppose.
I thought you guys were going to hire me here.
Yeah.
That's what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be a permanent fixture.
They might, the way they're going. I mean,
yeah, they've got
keep adding people.
So many people already. And then next week, they're going to have like a dozen people.
Oh, man.
On that show.
Oh, my, as they might say.
My, oh, my.
Oh, my.
I don't know if that's quite right, but you know what? The people know what we're talking about.
That guy died.
What guy?
The my oh my guy from the North Dakota State Bison guy. The voice of the herd.
Oh, yeah, the voice
of the Bison guy. Scott Miller, I think.
R2-D2 soon.
Yes,
indeed.
All right, let's go to the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
All right, what do we think Wilson Contreras can do to impact the fantasy catcher position, which has just been flat out dreadful this year, if I were to use a word? I also used to use that word to describe Andrew McCutchen, no longer.
When did you use that word for him?
Dreadful, when he was full of dreads.
Oh, got it. Didn't get it right away. Not even kidding.
No, now you could say that about John Jaysel.
God, that is bad hair, man.
It's weird, isn't it?
That is just a bad,
I love
bad
it,
look.
It's so gross that it's cool.
Yep. It's so hip, it's square.
Which is what I go for in life, to try to be so gross that it's cool. I still am waiting for the last part to come around.
Yeah, but you're really gross.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I'm well on my way.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Sure.
When you're like 80.
Yeah, well, hey, as long as I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, you're going to die pretty soon, actually. I'm pretty sure.
That's my dying.
That's your dying.
So Wilson Contreras, they got 3 catchers, right, in Chicago now. So is he going to get enough playing time to do
worthwhile? There's so many.
There's several.
Yeah, I mean, I think, what's his name, David Ross, Cody Ross, Ross?
David Ross, yes.
Isn't he just a personal catcher for...
Basically just for Lester.
For Lester. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got one day a week, but... I guess that means he kind of...
I mean, that's a pretty sweet gig right there, isn't it?
Just being John Lester's personal catcher. Not bad. Not a bad deal. I would like to do that. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, that's really the gig you want in Major League Baseball. You just be a guy's personal catcher. Yeah. You don't even have to worry about anything other than one day a week you catch. You don't have to get a hit the whole season.
No, I was going to say, you could hit, $1.50.
Oh, you could hit... You could hit 090. Yeah. Be like, yeah, but he's Kershaw's personal catcher, so that's his job, like... They're like when Tim Wakefield was good, he needed a personal catcher, that's a sweet gig. All you got to do is worry about catching a knuckleball, which is probably really hard, actually. So
I think so.
Terrible gig. But Lester doesn't throw a knuckler.
But, yet.
I mean, Contreras is the better offensive player than Miguel Montero, but Miguel Montero is not bad.
No.
Like, he's actually a relevant catcher. I mean, so I guess they make a... logical platoon then with David Ross catching once a week. So he's good. There's upside, but what the problem is there's just not enough playing time to make him like a top 10 guy.
Yeah. One thing that I've always noticed, and I couldn't stop smiling when I heard it, is the word relevant when you say he's irrelevant catcher. It sounds like you misspoke and you said he's irrelevant catcher.
He's irrelevant catcher, yeah. Is that why you were smiling?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
He's a relative?
I was going to just let it go, but then I had to say
I never like to let things go like that because then people don't know whether or not, like, you know, because
I'm just over here being a creep, like, grinning for no reason.
Yeah, it was really weird.
God, I really like Wilson Contreras. So he just makes me smile.
I just thought maybe you were like, I totally disagree, and I think Wilson Contreras is going to be Buster Posey times five. I don't know. So anyway, I think he'd, like, if he were really given a chance on a bad team, you know, where he could play all the time, he'd, like, automatically vault to top five. Which, by the way, remember the Evan Gattis talk we had?
Yeah.
That didn't happen. He went, like, 1-for-30 for a month. I mean,
he should still be a top five catcher.
But he's
so bad.
He's, like, over. He went, like, 1-for-1 month.
Yeah, he had a dong the other day.
It's still bad.
Donged out.
There's just nobody. So he's still probably relevant, but sure. I mean, he's not going to be enough. I mean, not going to get enough playing time to be truly relevant. Two catcher leagues, yeah, but
yeah,
it's like all thing, the like, for me personally, all the two catcher leagues I play in, he was already owned, or like, you know, they're usually dynasty leagues, yeah. So, and it's just, yeah, he was owned.
Right. Yeah. So if you, and it was weird actually. I saw him in a Yahoo league that I'm in, the 20 team league. He was added a lot, like, weeks before he came up, so I don't know if I just missed out on some rumor.
I think he was getting some buzz, and the only reason I know... Yeah, exactly, Buzzsaw, Billingsley. That's but right. The only reason I noticed it was because he was on the highest, like, Yahoo ads for a day, and this was, like, yeah, a week before I think he got called up, so I don't know what the reason was.
So must have been a lot of leagues.
Must have been rumors that he was coming up, so, I mean, yeah, I suppose the reason is, obviously... You probably got nobody at catcher. Like, I had just picked up stupid Kevin Plawecki in our Dynasty League just because I needed somebody, and now he's headed back to the minors, and it's like, catcher is bad.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah, so yeah, two catcher leagues, even with limited playing time, he's got value. I don't really see it changing. There's also rumors about him maybe going back down at some point. You know,
it might happen, but you know, like you said, I've heard other people say, you just got to play his way into the lineup, and he could easily do that. So, it's this is the new Reds bullpen. Talking about catchers, like, it's just, it's also bad.
Yeah, when there's a, you know, a new face in the competition.
But I remember, you know, like a month ago we said that about Kevin Plawecki. Like, yeah, he's relevant, and he's gone.
Well,
eventually.
He sucked, though.
Yeah, he did.
Like, yeah, he or something. Yeah. Really disappointing. I expected a lot more. I expected at least a decent batting average out of him. But I don't know. He's still relatively.
Well, good. I need to put my minor league system in that league. It only has like 14 guys in it because I trade them constantly. So I guess at least now I got a new guy to add down there.
There you go. All right, let's move on to. We got Justin Upton, who just hit two bombs last night. He's finally coming around a little bit. And so I'm going to pit him against Rajai Davis, who has also been ridiculous this season. 7 home runs and 21 steals, .264, .332, .418 slash line for the Rajai Davis so far. So do you think that Rajai Davis can keep it up, or is Justin Upton going to come back and just blow him out of the water? What do you think?
Yes, I think Justin Upton is going to blow him out of the water. I mean, I know you're a Rajai Davis guy. You own him everywhere.
Well, just because I own him, and I only own him in one league.
Actually, I think you got to own him at least two, don't you? You own him in the podcast league and in Dynasty, I thought.
Maybe.
I know your teams more than you do.
I don't think I own him in the podcast league.
Well, you picked him up at one point. Maybe you dropped him.
Oh, boy, if I did.
Because at the time that you had him, I think, or I think I owned him, actually. I owned him for like a week, and then I dropped him, and I think you picked him up, and then maybe you dropped him. Either way, I mean...
I can sure use him now with Jose Bautista.
I'm like last in steals in that league, and I own Billy Hamilton. I don't get it. Well, I do get it. Billy Hamilton has so many bases.
Not good.
But, you know, like, for instance, I picked up Justin Upton off the waiver wire in our 10-team league, and I think I paid $17 for it, which, you know, I saw, like, a fifth-round draft pick on
this
the waiver wire.
This is a 10-team points league.
Points league. And I picked him up, and he was really bad for about the first 3 weeks. Like, he was scoring me, like, 8-10 points a week. And I thought...
That's really bad.
Sounds about right. No, but this is my thought. Like, because I was still winning because my team is good. I'm in first place. Like, my pitching is ridiculous.
It's true, which is the perfect.
I own Kershaw and Bumgarner, and I'm like, I don't care. Like, he can suck because I know what's going to happen. He's going to go insane at one point, and now he's been scoring like 100 points the last 2 weeks, which that's not a joke. He really has. 10-game hitting streak. During that 10-game hitting streak, he's got 4 home runs. He's got 5 home runs since the 6th, which is 2 weeks.
Yep.
3 stolen bases in that amount of time. This is the hot streak. It happens, and it's happening right now. So
yeah, usually the hot streak with Upton happens sort of right at the start.
At the beginning of the season, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's the second half after he's already put up a bunch of stats where you can sort of take it on and be like, oh my God, he's sucking balls this entire second half.
Yeah.
But, you know, he already got you some big
stats. But he's streaky, and you never know when the streaks are going to come. But this is the hot streak, and you never know how long it's going to last. It could last until after the All-Star break, like, ride him while he's hot. Like, I mean, so yeah, he's so much better than Rajai Davis. You know, I don't think that he's going to steal anywhere near as many bases, but for this stretch while he's hot, he could hit 330 and hit 15-20. Like, he has real power when he's hot, and he is hot, and he can
hit 10 home runs a month.
Yes, and he's going to steal a base or two for you as well, so I just don't think it's close. Like, I think Upton might even still be a buy low right now just because people might be still so down. Like I said, I picked him up off the waiver wire in a 10-team league, so, like, add him if he's out there, and if not, like, I wouldn't even have a problem trading for him. He really still is like a top 5 round pick in my book. He just has been on his usual cold streak for the whole season. So
yeah, his OPS per month in April 569, May 612, and so far in June 920. So he's definitely picking up. And so you think that Rajai Davis is sort of gonna just fall off?
I don't even know. It's not about Rajai Davis in this case for me. It's about how good Justin Upton is, because he's still like a legit top 20 outfielder, and Rajai Davis just isn't that. But if you need a guy for steals, he's absolutely a guy to go out and get. And I'm in more than one league where I could use some steals, so it's...
Yeah, I think there's,
you know,
a lot
went under the radar because when I saw him out there on the waiver wire, I was just like, yeah, he's not going to play. And then, you know, Brantley went on the DL, and, you know, I mean, things changed, and Lonnie Chisenhall turned back into Lonnie Chisenhall, which I don't know why anybody ever thought he wasn't going to be Lonnie Chisenhall. So now Rajai's getting the chiz is going to chiz. I mean, that's what I always say. So now it's back to the norm, and yeah, so that's... I still think he's a really good option for stolen bases. It's just that he's not going to compete with Upton.
Yeah, and just mentioned him on the aforementioned Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast I recorded last night. We talked about Rajai Davis.
You did mention it.
I did mention him. He was only owned on Yahoo in 45% of leagues, so that must just be a lot of really shallow leagues on Yahoo that aren't paying that close of attention.
Well,
he's
said
incredible.
I mean, I don't know if you, like, all the Twitter followers of the Fantasy Amateurs on Friday night, I was tweeting,
oh yeah,
just like live tweeting Michael Saunders home runs, and I'm like 49% of Yahoo leagues, and he hit his first home run, and then I was like, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but Saunders just hit his second home run, and then I was like, okay, it's probably beating a dead horse at this point, but Saunders just hit his third home run, so, and he's still in, and then that ownership percentage, you know, I think has skyrocketed since then, but Yahoo, it's shallow leagues. That's Yahoo.
That is what they do. Yahoo!
That's not what they're about, but...
What are they about?
They're about search engines.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were about assumed consent.
Oh, they're also about that, yes.
Yeah. They're very rapey over at Yahoo, those people.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going up to the rest of the season. Rajai is always a guy who's pretty platoony. You know, he's usually just a play against lefties, but he's been decent against righties to this point this year. 139 at bats, 155 plate appearances, 245 average so far against righties, which definitely keeps him in play. But he's sort of a guy that strikes me as sort of a first half guy, kind of tapers off, but you gotta own him while he's stealing bases for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Justin Turner. Speaking of another dude, Justin Upton was a dude for me this year, God, that was looking really bad for a while, so I'm glad he's coming around. Justin Turner is in the exact same boat. I liked him coming into the season, given his very late-round draft value. He's up to 10 home runs right now, so I think it's time to reevaluate where he lies in the third base position and play a little dude feud.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino.
All right, sweet, dear, sweet Justin Turner and his flowing red beard. Just a good, beautiful man.
Good beard.
He is now up to 10 bombs, as previously mentioned. 252, 336, 432 average, and...
432 average?
Slash, I meant.
Okay.
Shut up. But his monthly OPS, as I mentioned with Justin Upton just a little bit ago, we've got April is 654, May 699, and June he's got a 985 OPS, 7 home runs so far. So clearly he is heated up at the plate. So let's find out where his value lies right now. So we're going to go right now on Yahoo. He's the 21st first base or third baseman available. Not available, but as according to the ranking so far. So we're going to go Justin Turner or Martin Prado, who's still hitting 231 on the year.
Yeah, I'll take Justin Turner there.
Okay.
I hate Martin Prado.
Justin Turner or Eugenio Suarez, who has 13 home runs and 4 steals, although with a 229 batting average.
Yeah, I trust Turner for better batting average, so even though he's your something even more so than your boy, what would that be?
My beau?
Sure, my your boo? Beau. I don't think beau is a thing.
Beau is like your
boyfriend?
Spouse or something. Yeah, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Your beau, B-A-U.
Boy, yeah. Oh, Bo.
It's Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say
Well,
like
there's
bae.
Also Bay. There's also Boo, some people.
Let's move
my
on.
Boo.
What was the choice again?
Oh, my God. Eugenio Suarez.
Oh, yeah. Like, Suarez had his hot streak. It's over. Turner had his cold streak. And it's, I'll take Turner. So Suarez was a guy that was like, you always knew it was a hot streak. You always knew that there was an expiration date. And, I don't think he's worthless anymore, but I think I'd rather have Turner.
His mind is wandering. He's still looking for Juanita.
Oh, yes, that's true.
His one true love.
That is it. I'm pretty sure that's Dinkelman's one true love, actually. But that was his...
Yeah, I guess they fought over them
perhaps.
At one point.
Perhaps. Juanita Suarez.
Juanita Suarez. Okay. Let's go him or Anthony Rendon, who is also eligible at second base. But
yeah, I mean... Turner's good, but I still am going to buy in on the Anthony Rendon train. You know that. Seven homers, 7 steals so far.
A lot of these guys that I'm looking at right now are sort of like Joe guys. Danny Valencia. Who are you taking there? They both have 10 bombs now.
That's
probably hitting 326.
That's probably the best one yet, the closest one yet. That's pretty much a toss-up for me. Because Turner probably has the better pedigree, it's still a better offense, even though the Dodgers' offense isn't that great, because the A's are they're actually bad, quite bad. But,
yeah.
I mean, I might say Valencia just for,
I think he gets traded.
Danny?
Yeah.
He might. That would definitely help,
He's one of the more rumored players on the block right now.
I like it.
Yeah.
Because I own me a lot of Danny Valencia.
Well, now that the Mets are without David Wright, that's the hot rumor that they're going to trade for Valencia.
Not a great ballpark anyway, but yeah, still not bad. I mean, yeah, it's not a great
I love
ballpark.
My cousin Valencia.
My cousin Valencia. Yeah, I think that's okay. That's a really good comp. I think that's kind of where, and I'm high on Valencia, obviously, so some people might be like, he's nowhere near Turner, but I totally buy into him, and I have for a while, so.
Yeah.
That's like right there for me. They're like back to back, wherever that would be. Back to back to back.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe like 12 or something in third base.
I don't even think it's that high. I mean, Jake Lamb, he's got 14 home runs now, hitting 283.
Yeah, I'd probably take Lamb over them. But I would think Lamb is close.
He's the ninth third baseman right now.
Right now. But I mean, I'm not talking about where they... I'm saying rest of season ranks if you're doing a ranking. I mean...
So, yeah, Lamb...
There might be guys at the top that I think are, that I just don't buy at all.
Well, that's kind of what I'm... Look, like Eduardo Nunez, I mean...
Yeah, he's not there at all, no.
Jonathan Villar, another dude for me, who is so far the third-ranked third baseman.
Nah.
25 steals at a .297 batting
average. Just for me, I mean, I'm probably wrong, but I'd still take both Turner and Valencia over him. Unless you need steals. It's a totally different skill set,
Yeah. I wish I could bet that, but I don't even know how we would do that. So
it's kind of a pointless bet because they offer such different things.
I think that's still more like top 15, which would put him at a corner infielder in a standard league.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Yeah, 15.
But
12 to 15.
Yeah, I was looking at my projections for him on the year. 16 home runs, 80 RBI is what I gave him. So he's well on his way to the bombs. 16, because I think he was. That's about where he was last year. But I also gave him a 290 batting average, which he's going to have a hard time
using that. Just because it's been so bad. I mean, like, Seager and Longoria, like, you take both of them over both of the other guys?
I would, yeah.
I think Seager is similar, to be honest with you. I mean...
Yeah,
I trust
power.
Him more.
Yeah, I'd say more power from Kyle Seager. All right. That was enjoyable. Let's move on to Julio Teheran, whose one-hit shutout against the Mets was also enjoyable for his owners. Oh, transition. Is he an ace?
I just wanted to say something to kill time because I was pulling up his page. Do you recall your preseason impressions of him? Did you think he was an ace preseason?
I was staying the F away from him for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think he was on my don'ts list, but he could very well have been.
You hated him. Like, that was... I don't remember the argument, but I was kind of... To me, he was kind of like, eh, you know, like, he's not bad. And you were just like, he's, you know, don't touch him. 39.5-foot pole, that's what it takes.
He's been crap. I mean, if you look at his production from 2015, strikeout minus walk rate of 11.6%. Put up a 4.04 ERA, which was even lower than his 4.40 FIP. Not getting ground balls, doesn't have great velocity. Yeah, like, you know, with the FIP, like I said, he was even a little lucky, 2.88 BABIP. You know, if there's one thing that he has going for him, it's that he is not ever injured to this point. Thrown multiple 200-inning seasons so far. And back in 2013, he was at 185 2/3. So even that, pretty solid. So, I mean, if you're in a points league, I could see going for him, but... Just the ratios I just thought were garbage coming
in. Well, the strikeouts are up this year, but, I mean, if you're looking at it, he's not – he's out-pitching his peripherals right now. XFIP 396, his ERA is 266. I mean, he's getting slightly more ground balls than he was last year, and the strikeouts are up, which is a good thing. A decent amount, actually. He's 8.45 K9 right now. And his walks are down. So, I mean, like, everything has been better. And the home, he's not giving up, you know, homers are about on par, which that's what I worry about with that guy because he's a fly ball pitcher, so.
Right.
I mean, I think he's not an ace, to answer the question.
No, I agree. His swinging strike rate actually is down from 10.8 and 10.9 the past two seasons to 9.8 this year. So that even indicates that the K's will probably regress a little bit going forward. I think... listening to Eno Saris, does he always say throw your changeup more with Teheran? Isn't that always the case on him?
Is that what he wants him to do, you mean?
I believe so. That's what he's been doing this year. He's been throwing the changeup the most since his rookie year when he threw it 19.1%. But still, he's only 9% now, which is still barely more than like a representative pitch. So he's still not going to it a lot. But clearly he's found more success this year, like you said, with the ERA over a full run lower than his FIP.
Yeah, so there's bad things coming. Like, he might, you know, like, we were talking about him preseason, and he was in, like, the, I think it was, I can't, the Royals, Yordano Ventura was the guy, I think, that we had the debate about, and I think I said I'd probably rather just take Teheran than Ventura, and you were just totally against it, and saying, you know, just because you hated him so much, and, you know, we're talking in the 45 to 50 range.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, ace, you're talking top 10, top 12, and he's just nowhere near that. He's probably upped himself from 45 to 50, you know, maybe he's 35 to 40, we trust him a little bit more, but that's about all I could give him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, that sounds about right. He's redeemed himself a little bit so far because, you know, obviously, like we said, he's been really lucky so far, but even his peripherals aren't that bad, and he can pitch deep into games. I mean, the thing is, though...
He's still, I mean, you got to expect 200-plus innings. That's good.
Yeah.
You know.
The Braves suck, too, so it's not like he's going to get a lot of wins.
No, he's 3-7 even with all this crap, but, yeah, like, I just hate even thinking about wins. I really hate thinking about it.
I know, and it's not like it's anything that you can really bank on, but you can... Give yourself at least when in the extreme case of like the Twins or the Braves or the A's, like the worst teams in baseball versus like the Cubs, the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
Like if I'm actually in a standard roto league that counts wins, I'm going to take a guy like Kyle Hendricks, who was fantastic.
Yeah.
A couple days ago, you know, 6 innings, 12 Ks for wins, even though his win-loss record isn't great so far either. I think he's like 4-5. So I would rather
you know, just wait for him instead of taking Tehran, who's on a really crappy team.
You mean like preseason?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, I think.
Yeah, I'm just talking draft strategy if I'm choosing between.
Well, yeah, and like I think John Lester was underrated big time in preseason because he was going like 22nd or 23rd, and now, you know, what is he right now? Like,
he's one of my favorite targets.
Like 10-1 or 11-1. I mean, so. Yeah, I mean, well, no, I don't know if anybody thought the Cubs were going to be this good. Like, they've been,
I know,
like,
ridiculous.
Otherworldly good. And, you know, like, everybody thought they were going to be good. I think most people picked them to win the division. And, you know, but, like, this is kind of ridiculous.
Mean, if we're talking about some of my dudes and don'ts, a don't of mine was John Lackey.
That was wrong.
Oh, my God. He's ridiculous.
I was actually looking to trade for him in the. Because I owned in our Dynasty League, I had two prospects that were actually going to pitch soon, and I was like, I want to find an old guy that I think is going to be good, and like, he was the first guy that popped into my head, because I think he'll probably keep it up the rest of the year, but at some point the wheels will fall off, but it doesn't appear to be yet.
Yeah. All right, let's play a little game called Stuffing Holes here, Joe.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
That's a great title.
Stuff some holes.
Stuffers.
I've already got a great drop in mind.
I stuff okay, some holes. You do.
I look forward to that.
Joe is not going to like it.
Awesome.
But
that
it's
makes
be
me so happy.
Fantastic.
All right, we've got some holes to fill in people's lineup.
Those lines ups.
Because the Jose Bautistas and the J.D. Martinez's are going to be on the DL. Even a guy, Dexter Fowler, has hit the DL as well.
I didn't put him
in the rundown, but yeah, he's on the DL now with a hammy strain.
Yeah,
so
I traded for him.
Traded for him? Yeah. Oh, that's right. He'll be back, whatever. It's just a couple weeks.
Yeah, I made two trades today, actually, but I'll tell you guys that off air.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Three closers I got back.
Well, why don't you just... bring it up after we do this, then we'll talk about that. Hey,
grading Jesse's trades.
Yeah, we're gonna
a new segment.
Rip your ass.
We're just going to be like, either it's going to be the drop of the, you totally redeemed yourself, or I'm going to find a way, you know, I'm going to drop some idiocracy drop where everybody's just stupid. But anyways, back to the show. Back to the show.
Anyway, all right. So, Joe, I don't know if you have anybody in mind exactly right now for... A couple outfield pickups. I guess the first one that comes to mind for me is sort of the direct replacements for Jose Bautista, Michael Saunders, if he's still out there.
Well, Saunders is almost too owned at this point. Like, you should have done that already.
Right.
But
Ezekiel Carrera as well.
That's a good one to say.
Yeah, he's been leading off a lot for the not quite as awesome Blue Jays lineup as they were last year, but. Yeah.
No, but I mean, yeah, and he's
300 right now.
Yeah, I don't really, you know, I mean, it's small sample, so I don't think he's really that good of a hitter. But just the lineup, I mean, a lot of those guys are heating up. Like, Encarnacion was really getting hot. Well, you know, Bautista was playing well, but of course he's gone now. And Tulo's back, which, you know, that could be good or bad.
Yes,
but we'll
fair
see.
Point.
But anyway, yeah, that's a good one. I totally forgot what it was already, but I think it was good, right?
Ezekiel Carrera.
Oh yeah, no, that is a guy. I've actually been looking to add him, but yeah, he's way down there. I don't know what he'd be owned in Yahoo, like 1% maybe, but
yeah, not a lot.
Brandon Moss owned in 40% of leagues because if you're these guys, you know, like Bautista, for instance, you lost a lot of power.
Yeah, that's the one he's gonna give you.
And now they sent Grichuk down, and
they did. They brought back the Wong.
Well, yeah, Wong is back. So, and he played center field the other day, so apparently he's going to the outfield. But
him and Pham are going to split time.
So I don't know if Moss is going to get any more time than he used to get. He'll probably, I mean, he's not going to play a lot. But I mean, he has 16 homers. There's plenty of guys that play every day that don't have 16 home runs. So there's that. I mean, there's kind of the usual suspects on the waiver wire as well. I mean, Billy Burns is only owning 37% of Yahoo.
Billy Boynes.
Trace Thompson, I talked a lot about how much I liked him last week.
God, we've been on him for so long.
I know, and he's actually slumping right now a little bit. Like, in his last couple weeks, he hasn't been hitting. But he's still hitting home runs. I don't know. Like, you know, he had a little bit of BABIP regression, I think. But I still think he's a really good hitter. And so, whatever. He's actually been dropped in a bunch of leagues. So,
Jason Worth is a guy who's been super hot. in the past month. Close to even walk to strikeout ratio also for your points leaguers. 10 walks and 12 Ks. So Michael Taylor, as far as a short-term ad, I like him just because he's sort of a streaky guy who can, you know, we saw the other day he had 2 home runs and a stolen base in a game. So he presents that option anyway. You know, he's a guy who's going to strike out a ton, have a pretty low batting average, but he can fill you in the other categories pretty well when he's in there.
Yeah. The guy that you talked about on Dear Mr. Fan, well, everybody talking about, but Robbie Grossman's still only winning 6% of Yahoo leagues. I would guess CBS is way higher because I know they like him over there, but like, I think Al Melchior has talked about he liked him. I don't listen to that podcast every day, but every once in a while I do. But Robbie Grossman's been hitting third for them half the time. Like, you know, so like a 3-hitter in a Major League Baseball lineup, that's enough.
And he has. It's not entirely due to a lack of options. I mean, he has actually been hitting.
He's just been their best option. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I can't argue with it at this point. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, just watching those Twins games, you're kind of like, ooh, Grossman's up. I like it.
Yeah. I know. He's our one source of hope.
Yeah.
By the way, do you have anything to say for yourself on Park?
Yeah, no, it's all bad. It's all bad. He's still, like, we're going to talk about BABIP later, and he's still top 10 lowest BABIP in all of baseball. Yeah. Like, so
we'll talk. Okay, talk about him.
We can talk about him a little bit. But right. I still think he's a really good player, but it just ain't happening, man. It ain't happening for him.
Yeah.
There was one other guy I was going to say. Oh, okay. Paulo Orlando.
Paulo!
Just for steals. I mean, you
and
know.
A fun name. I mean,
it's a really fun name. He hit like 18 triples in his first 10 games of last year.
Well, I got a pun for you.
Okay.
Add him to your roster and maybe you'll get a little Paulo Orlando magic.
Mmm. Mm. Is that a pun?
Orlando Magic.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree.
And you can bring some magic to your team.
That Orlando
we've
Magic.
We never really defined what a pun is.
Don't know.
Remember when we used a ball and we just made what we thought were puns?
Yeah, we try.
It was so much fun.
We had a scoring system. Yeah. Basically, just however much I liked the pun, I would give you points.
Well, that seems really
well. Basically, it was really good.
One that I ever remember being even like usable was we were behind in the bowling matchup, and somebody was also eating something, and they had ketchup, and we used the ketchup pun.
Yeah, we use that one a lot. Yeah, every once in a while, I'd get a multi-point banger, though. Like, I had a few, but then I'd say something really bad. I'm pretty sure I had some negative point ones, too.
I think we started that before you started on the bowling team, and that was, like, our friend Sean. He could have, like, a 30-point one, and it'd be like, wow, that one's negative 100. Because he would say some of the dumbest things you've ever heard in your life.
He's the most hit-or-miss guy ever.
Oh, yeah, he was like, he was Joey Gallo.
Three true outcome hitters, with baseball. He's a 2 true outcome hitter, because it's either a home run or
He never walked.
He's got a 45% strikeout rate.
No, he's got like a
75%. Yeah, way higher than that.
The other 25% were home
or
runs.
Hits a home run,
and they were in fact grand slams.
Every at bat.
All right. Speaking of either hitting a proverbial home run or striking out, Jesse, let's hear these trades that you made. These are Dynasty League trades, correct?
They're Dynasty League trades.
All right, I've got my grading hat on.
Let me pull them up here. The first one, I kind of talked to Nate about, but anyways,
I did advise you.
I traded away a Josh Reddick for Harrison Bader and Hector Rondon. Now, keep in mind, I am competing. I've been up and down. I'm currently actually only in eighth, but I've been as high as winning this thing. But actually, this week I've been early on a downfall.
Oh, this is in your other league?
This is in my other dynasty league. This is the one that I've been without you guys. This is the only league I exist
in. I'd say if you've got the outfield depth, it makes sense. I mean, that's about the right price for a closer. But I still like Josh Reddick, though.
I like him, too. I'm kind of – I have depth at outfield, but I've also got I've also banged up there, too, because I have, like – I actually have 3 guys that are on the DL currently, but I have Puig coming back tonight.
Yeah, I think one of the things Nate said was totally correct. It's like the longer you wait to pull these, if you need saves, the longer you wait. You wait till like the league's trade deadline. It's like the less bang for
your buck. I am in last place in saves.
So then you got
to. And I needed it.
That's perfect. Saves are the easiest. I've found in my dynasty league, saves are the easiest thing to trade for.
After and trade away.
After that.
I couldn't trade.
That's all Nate does is trade.
I decided.
After that,
I love
it.
Anyways, so What I did all right there.
Yeah, that's
all right.
That's
good. Okay.
Yeah, the only
it's just fair. I mean, I'm not going to be like you fleeced the guy.
The only flea in the closet is that the Cubs are talking about trading for one of the Yankees relievers.
Yeah, but I don't know if that'll happen.
True, there are some fleas in the closet there, but at the same time, I need it. Rondon is young, and
he's been absolutely elite.
He at least should get a closing job in the future too. Dynasty-wise.
Yeah, that was my decision that I had in Dynasty. It was, remember, Wade Davis versus Hector Rondon, and I kept Wade Davis and had to wait for, like, a whole half a season before Davis got the closer job, and goddamn, I wish I had both of them.
Nate originally told me, though, when I was talking about making this trade for Reddick, with Reddick for Rondon, he was thinking that I had to give up more. So,
nice.
I think I did all right, though. My other trade, then, I decided I got this offer like immediately after I accepted it, this trade, and I really need saves. But this one is now more of a now offer. I got Francisco Rodriguez and Brad Ziegler for Jeff Samardzija.
Those two offered to you?
Yeah.
Ooh. Did you do it already?
I took it.
Oh. Both of them for Samardzija in the same deal?
In a different deal.
I mean, just
I got both saved, both closers. So now I went from basically being, I'm going to be in last place to close. I figured.
So you probably didn't have a save all season or one
I have
or
two,
something. So,
I think maybe three.
So now you can go and you can gain like 15 points in the category, and that can make a big difference. So
I can.
The bottom line is it even if I don't like either of those, I personally traded for Francisco Rodriguez like a week ago, so I can't really give you too much shit.
Too.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Once I saw the offer, I thought about looking a little deeper into it, then I was like, you know what? This seems like, to me, this is one that I'm getting
two closers.
Yeah, so I'm getting three in a row. I'm only, you know,
to go from zero closers to three closers, like you're just gonna.
I can pass three people pretty easily,
pretty quickly.
I mean, I'm at two.
Well, none of those guys are gonna hurt your ratios. They get strikeouts, and nothing wrong with any of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I still got, you know, my boy Kobe Lewis.
Oh yeah,
you know,
he's going to be a stud.
Back up Kershaw, you know.
Yeah,
that's a perfect example of what I had mentioned actually yesterday. Again, to harken back to the DMF podcast, when I said this is the time of year where if you are trading for saves, like even if you lose the deal, quote unquote,
I'd probably be like, those two in Dynasty purposes, like, I'd probably rather have Smart as those. But for this season, like if you're really trying to make
if you're making a run,
if you want to win,
I got a month,
at the very least get in
a month and a half of the trade deadline.
At the very least get in the money, like that's going to help you get in the money.
Technically, if I can boost myself up a few category points, pass some guys, make myself gain some points, then I could turn around and probably trade one.
Oh yeah, or at the very least in the off season, like I traded Brad Ziegler in the off season for last year because I thought he was going to lose the job, but he didn't. Yeah. But then I traded him for Gwen Stefani. Like you know, you do stuff like that. Like you get ask Nate. You've gone through probably every closer in the league.
It's funny. In this past off season, and I'll just say this, and then we can take a break and move on to our feature segment. But this past off season, so I traded Aroldis Vizcaíno and another closer that I cannot remember.
It might have been Santiago Casilla.
It was Santiago Casilla. You're correct. For the first overall pick in our dynasty,
which was Delino DeShields,
who I then traded for AJ Ramos.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, so it's like you went from two closers to one, but you did get the best closer out of the three, I suppose.
He's been really good.
No, Nate, you churn through closers like really nobody's business. It's insane. And by the way, Emilio Estevez or Gloria
Estefan. He's been
Stefan,
awesome. Gloria Estefan.
What
been
the shit?
It. Yeah, dude. Oh, man. Locking it down out there. Oh, there's it.
I'm sorry. I'm just pissed.
Don't miss that one, Justin.
Yeah, we missed a couple lately.
Womp. All right, let's take a break. All right, we are back for our feature segment, in which we are going to talk about BABIP by-low hitters, which we will be featuring some of the lowest BABIPs in baseball over the first 2.5 months that we've got so far. And we're going to be evaluating them and see if they're by-low targets or if they're just trash. Does it sound like fun?
Trash.
That's good. We should clip that, use that as the intro.
Yep.
There you go, Jesse. I'll give you something to do. So we're going to start with Todd Frazier.
He's not going to do that. We can tell.
He's not. No. Shaking his head.
I totally have no idea what you guys have been talking about for the
last
minute.
Don't worry about it.
I'm talking about cougars. So,
do I need to write it down?
Nope. Yeah, we were just talking about cougars.
Yeah, we literally just spent an hour talking about cougars.
The viewers out there at podcast land don't know.
And for the record, we're talking about the animals that live in Africa.
Well, back when I was, you know, my, like, a very small stature of myself, back when I was like 180 pounds or so.
You would hunt.
I actually called them dinosaurs, and I referred to myself as Beowulf. Or actually dragons. I called them dragons. Dinosaurs were the big ones.
Really offensive towards older
women. I called dinosaurs big. I called the bigger ones dinosaurs. But I called the hot ones dragons.
You know, I thought
that's really
the skinny cougars. I called dragons and I slayed them. Hot.
Gotcha.
I am Beowulf. Anyways.
Oh, God.
Moving on.
This is a true story, though.
I believe you.
It really was.
I was just kind of trying to, you know, like, keep it, you know, innuendo and keep it all under the table.
Well, you go to Africa to slay dragons.
No doubt about it.
And then you go to Madagascar to slay dinosaurs.
That's where the dinosaurs...
There's nothing better than slaying a dinosaur.
So that Todd Frazier...
I don't even know what to add to that right now. Yeah, we'll start with the lowest BABIP in baseball. At 183 is the Todd Frazier. He's actually been pretty damn good. Hit a home run tonight. 19, so that's 20 so far this year. Quick math right there.
That was good. Good work.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What are you seeing with Todd Frazier this year, Joe? Is that batting average going to come up?
Well, I guess it has to. I mean, 198.
Does it?
It does. I mean, look, he's been good. That's the craziest part. I mean, not good in terms of, you know, hit, you know, obviously he's been terrible with a 198 average, but when you have 19 homers and 5 steals, 20 homers and 5 steals is like, I was actually looking at Todd Frazier's numbers like a week ago, and he was hitting like 215 or something at the time with whatever 17 or 18 homers and 5, and it was like, wow, you know, I was kind of doubting on the Todd Frazier. Well, if you tweeted something about the Todd Frazier speed, you know, a few months ago, and it was like, looks like the speed is still there, and I was like, yeah, it's there to an extent. I guess he is a Milo, I mean, but at the same time, those 20 homers kind of make him not a Milo.
Yeah, I don't even know if you could consider him that with so much
power.
That's
the problem, is like, you know, is his owner going to be like, wow, I am sick of owning this guy that's hitting 198, or are they going to be like, dude, he's got 20 homers, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know what to think of Todd Frazier. And I also don't know what to think of what's going to happen with. He's not a 200 hitter.
No, yeah.
It's probably like, at worst case, he's like a 240 hitter, right?
Yeah, his career average is 251, so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see. I mean, just because it's been so low so far, maybe it still ends at 235 or something, which looks really bad, but... I mean, is he going to hit 40 home runs, too? He could. He's on pace for it.
I guess. Yeah, 40 homers and 10 steals. Like, that's the kind of, you don't get that very often.
No. Yeah, even with a very bad, you know, batting average. But let's see his batted ball profile. He's actually doubled his walk rate, which is very peculiar. But, yeah, hard contact rate way down from last year, which is strange given all the home runs that he's hit. I don't know.
He's one of the weirdest things that you've ever looked at. Like, the Todd Frazier season this year is absolutely inexplicable. He's, in some ways, having one of the worst seasons he's had in a long time. In some ways, it's the best. It's like, I don't know. I guess maybe he is a Milo because this makes no sense.
It's really weird. He has decreased his chase rate substantially. He was at 37% last year, down to 27.5% this year.
Well, you're a Todd Frazier owner in our day. Like, what do you think? Like, what are you thinking right now? Do you want to sell him, or do you?
No, just because he's still giving me the home runs. I mean, he's a guy who's
so
traditionally been a first half player, though. Is kind of the thing too.
Yeah,
so.
Well, definitely last year for sure. After the home run derby and everything,
he was trash last year.
Was that 2 years
after
ago?
The home? No, that was last year.
Okay,
yeah. All right, so we don't really have a solid answer for that. I mean, I
just don't know.
I guess I would take him if you can get him at a discount, but otherwise he's probably just staying where he's at with whatever owner.
I just think that his owner is probably going to be like, hey, listen, he's got 20 home runs, and we're not even halfway through the season yet. So, you know, like, You'd think that the general like, because this bat is 20 points lower than anybody else in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, it's
really fluky low.
It's insane. So, like, yeah. I guess he does have a hot streak coming, but at the same time, it's like, if he has a hot streak coming, he's going to be the yeah. number one player in fantasy.
Right. Yeah, he's got all-time high pull percentage, too. So that's partially where the home runs are coming from. He's really, really yoking the baseball to hit those bombs. So.
Yeah, but if it was that easy just to hit 50 home runs like he's on pace for, then I think everyone would just do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these numbers don't make sense. There's just no two ways about it.
No two ways about it. All right, moving on to this next guy is pretty interesting, too. Corey Dickerson. Let's just go straight down the line for now. 212 BABIP for Dickerson. The old C-Dick is our good buddy Yancey might
say. We forgot to talk about Yancey, top of the show. Follow him out there at Yancey Eaton on Twitter.
Sure. I don't think he needs our help. He's got plenty of followers. But
I doubt he'll get even one follower out of me.
Yeah,
well, if you're not following him, you don't exist.
That's
don't
true.
Exist, yeah.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true. Close.
You're not on Twitter.
How many bombs does C-Dick have? Because I swear to God, I see C-Dick bomb on the freaking...
Yeah.
Twit box about every other day.
That's because you follow Yancey Eaton.
He is all about C-Dick.
Actually, it's not so much Yancey. It's all the people that love Yancey that talk about the C-Dick.
Well, I suppose. Yeah. It's caught on.
He's got a cool dozen,
so
they might say.
Tweet us all the reasons why you love Yancey Eaton.
Yes.
Why you love a C-Dick.
This is the Yancey cast.
We had that last week.
I think that was last week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the show, though, now. It's turning into...
We're going to rebrand it?
We're going to rebrand our podcast to promote Yancey Eaton, and I bet we'll get a lot more listeners.
The whole show will be about shopping at particular large retail
store. As your producer,
we'll just talk
your
about
marketeer,
the stuff they sell.
And you're, you know, I pipe out the dollars. Sometimes Joe pitches in.
Rarely.
Just kidding. It's
yeah,
always Nate.
No, yeah.
And we pipe out the money, and we get the show out there. We do everything that needs to be for people to see it. So as you're, like, I believe firmly in 100% business strategy that we should just start calling ourselves the Yancey Cast, and all we do is talk about Yancey Eaton's tweets for the week.
Just talk about Yancey Eaton's Twitter feed and whatever they're selling at a very particular large retail store.
At a very reasonable rate as well.
Oh, yeah, they it's a great store.
Speaking of reasonable, Corey Dickerson. His BABIP is very unreasonable. At 212.
That's for sure.
So, obviously, we're assuming that all these really low BABIPs are going to come up. But
they,
so the thing is, how much, you know, and what are we seeing in their profiles that are leading to this?
Well, last year, he only played 65 games, and it's 62 games right now. And you got that 150-point swing in BABIP between 212 and 367 is what it was last year, which is accounting for him going from being, like, it was the same amount of time. He was a darling out there in Coors, and he's been considered garbage in Tampa Bay. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with the power. The power has been just fine. So, you know, strikeout and walk rates aren't that much different. He's walking a little bit more. He's striking out a little bit more. I don't think that doesn't make any sense. As you know, that's not explaining it in my book. So, I guess I would say I do. There's got to be some solid positive regression coming.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have to throw in, you know, from the ignorant fantasy person here,
sorry,
real quick.
Go ahead.
No, this is like an honest. This is for stupid fantasy beginner fantasy people. One day, either before you guys have these segments, or you know, break it down. You should teach, like, have like a little. You know, plan, whether it's a blog article or something about how you analyze sabermetrics into how it relates into, you know, hot and cold streaks and how you can predict things with fantasy.
Yeah,
and I know that it's probably
that.
Assumed by most fantasy listeners that most fantasy
well,
listeners
here's
understand
just,
that.
Just a very basic thing.
But,
one of these things that we're doing, like, right now, this is just like that. Some of the easiest things you could do is this, just like this. Go to Fangraphs. Go to leaderboards, go to BABIP.
Yeah, follow along at home.
Well, yeah, go to the BABIP leaderboard page and reverse it, because the highest right. BABIP we said earlier is Starling Marte, and so go to the lowest BABIP. Go to ERA minus FIP. Go to that page. Just click yep. the ERA minus FIP, which leaders for the season. So that, those guys are unlucky. So one easy.
Shut up, Joel. We might do that next week.
We probably will.
I don't know what else we're gonna do.
These are just like the very, you know, it's really easy to do, but yet at the same time, a lot of people just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to incorporate that.
Well, I'm just saying, like, before, you know, just don't just – I mean, I would assume that 95% of the NASCAST listeners –
if I explain it as I go, will you actually listen to the show?
I do listen to the show.
I don't listen as you guys talk.
As you guys talk, I don't listen. Ever.
That's what I meant.
Oh, he listens after
I listen. I listen to the show after.
I meant listen live.
Oh, yeah. God. Rip, no.
Uh-oh. Jesse's had a few, and now he's cussing.
Damn it.
But anyway, back to the C Dick.
Yes, of course.
The most obvious thing that I see looking at his numbers is just the line drive percentage is way down. So like 29% last year in Colorado, it's down to 14% right now. And I don't know an obvious solution for that. You know, his hitting way more fly balls, way less line drive. So if he's just homer happy right now, just trying to hit everything out of the ballpark.
And for the layman out there, Jesse, line drives are probably the least sticky batted ball stat from year to year. You can see a guy, you know, this sort of swing is not very typical to go from like 30% down to below 15% line drive rate, but you frequently will see somebody go from 27% one year back down to like a league average 20%. You know, that really is not a thing that, you know, is consistent year in, year out. Whereas you have something more along the lines of like
fly ball rate going home run to fly ball or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that can vary too.
It can vary a little bit, but for the most part, you're within a certain range.
Yeah.
You know.
Homer fly ball is also one of those kind of players. You go like homer fly ball is one of those things too, where that's where you can find some luck. You know, find some guys to
get a little wind behind you, get a little wind in front of you.
And it's also good to go out to
like
ESPN.
I bet if you go and look at the Adam Duvall homer and a fly ball rate, it's probably
got to be huge.
Got probably looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty high.
And what are you trying to tell me?
The ESPN, so I'm trying to say so.
The ESPN home run tracker, too, is a fun way to look at guys who are getting pretty lucky with just enough home runs. You know, the ones that just barely clear the scrape defense, that kind of stuff. Okay. So some of the other things that I look at as far as this stuff is concerned to try to find out why his BABIP is so low. I mean, obviously with a strikeout rate around 27%, that's going to keep your batting average really low.
Yeah, but it's not monstrous. You know, he's 24% the year before, so.
Yeah, but I mean, too, if you look at his contact rate is at an all-time low right now, 71.9%, whereas league average is about 80%. So when you get down around the 70% mark, that's really bad. Like, when you get below that, you're looking at the Chris Bryants of last year, the George Springers last year, where we were wondering if they're going to make enough contact to continue to be major leaguers.
You're Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo's, yeah. And a swinging strike rate, which, you know, just when you swing and you miss, your whiff rate, basically.
Well, I think that's a little bit obvious. You probably don't have to break it down that much.
Yeah, well.
We could always have another guess the sabermetric. What's it mean? What's it mean, Basil? What does it mean, Basil? I don't.
By next year,
I know most of them.
They'll have come up with 20 new ones by next year.
I think came up. There was at least one or two of those that I didn't know. So
yeah, well, there's some weird ones that don't. It was really still make fun to guess anymore, but
like Sierra, it wasn't Sierra on there.
Yeah, Sierra.
And I did. I mean, I know what I've heard of Sierra. It's like the different version of XFIP or FIP or whatever. But
yeah,
it's a fielding independent pitching stat. But I don't know what Sierra stands for. Even still, I forget. Like, I don't know. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
God, see? Exactly.
Something independent ERA?
Oh, yeah. It does end with independent ERA, I guess. So. But, I mean, Jesus.
I can't think of what the S is.
Though. All we got to know is the S, and we still can't think of it. So.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Super.
So
it's always super.
Yeah,
it's
super.
It is super.
Or superior.
Yeah. Califragilistic expialidocious.
Whatever one you want.
But, I mean, a guy who's striking out this much, that's not always necessarily something that can correct. It's lickety-split.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's
like,
he's reaching on a lot of pitches.
The gigantic split in BABIP from last year and this year, well, like I said, that gigantic drop in line drive rate, well, line drives are hits.
Yeah, so he's hitting everything up in the air right now.
Yes.
And your BABIPs on fly balls are the lowest.
They're bad.
Yeah. you're better off hitting a line
drive.
So it kind of
makes sense. So if he's just going to keep swinging for the fences and, you know, yeah, maybe he hits 30 home runs this year, but he hits 200, it's like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and if you hit a fly ball
based on the way he's based on the way his approach to the play is looking right now, that sounds about right. And that's not a that's not a fantasy irrelevant player that you just want to dump, like, cuz home runs are good. I like them.
Sure.
I enjoy them.
Don't we all?
But I really like guys that hit 300 and hit 30 home runs.
Yeah, but are they as more important than stolen bases?
Yeah, wow. No.
Nope.
But
no,
that was like his weird hot take face guy.
No, I was going by like some Twitter rants and arguments that I seen earlier
really?
In the week.
Home runs versus stolen bases?
Yeah, Joseph Pisapia was saying that, I think it was Joe P, that was talking about how home runs are still, I mean, they're not, I mean, you can't just go straight for guys who just steal bases nowadays, because home runs, high home run rate also adds to your RBI and run rate. I
mean, it's not exactly,
it's an age-old argument. Factor
that it's not in. Exactly breaking news there.
Well, no, I know, but it's a big old argument that was on Twitter somewhere, and I'm pretty sure it was Joe's favorite analyst that was talking about stolen bases.
Clearly,
the reason,
Don
biggest
Chandler's.
Thing is I brought up what does it mean, Basil? And that's why it reminded me of all this.
Oh,
but,
boy.
That's not even why I said it. But
let's not get started on him.
But.
Anyway, yeah, so it doesn't sound like either of us are holding out a lot of hope for a big rebound from Dickerson.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dickerson, I just... He's worse than Frazier, because Frazier, I just don't get it. Dickerson, I do get it. It seems like he's swinging for the fences, and you know, that's what happens. Your BABIP goes down, and things go bad. So that one makes sense to me. I don't know if you're, like, looking for... like, because I thought we just would, like, give, like, three targets or whatever. For
yeah, you. Just give a couple of them, yeah.
Okay, so this is the one that I looked at that I actually kind of like, and this is partially just from... being an owner, but Brian Dozier is in the top 15 of that and of lowest BABIP in all the bigs. And, like, you know, this season, so 259 BABIP, 237 average, like, he's always a low batting average player, let's face it, you know. And he's actually kind of a traditionally low BABIP player. But he's actually been...
he pops up all the damn time.
But he's actually been way better than last season, like... In a lot of different ways. Like, last in 2015, walked 8% of the time, struck out 21% of the time. This year he's walking 10% of the time, striking out 16% of the time. So he's improved. Still in bases right now, he's six for six. He's got 8 homers.
Much better than that.
I don't know how you could. So, yeah, there's a lot of... He's doing a lot of good things. And I still think the perception of it right now is that he's having a terrible season, so...
he's been better recently. He's picked it
he
up.
He has picked up, absolutely. And there's also all those kind of off-season, like we talked about preseason, you know, some injury concerns, and maybe that was there, maybe that was hampering him, maybe he's got a little bit healthier, you know, I don't know. But I do know that he's been playing a lot better lately, and I think that everything that I see is that he's having a season way closer, like really close to what he did in 2014, when 23 homers, 21 steals, 112 runs, like, the runs probably ain't going to happen because Twins suck.
Yeah,
but,
bad lineup.
But you know what I mean? Like, that was a great fantasy season, and then, you know, the next year, it wasn't like he was terrible or anything, but the stolen bases dropped off, and you know, OBP dropped off a little bit. So I think he's in for a very solid second half, and I think the perception right now of him is that he's been a disappointment, and I think he could bounce back.
All right. Well, what do you think about we brought him up earlier that we would talk about him now, Byung-ho Park.
Oh, Park, he just like you said you even said it when you were talking, even in the midst of talking about how he might go to AAA, you said, like, I love watching him crush a home run, like.
He hits him a mile.
He's got so,
like,
much power.
The second it's off the bat, you're like, oh my God, that's out of the stadium.
He's got so much power, and it's probably just a cautionary tale of why you shouldn't buy into these types of guys, because it's like, you know, I guess you watch him and you're just like, oh my God, he can hit it 150 miles. Like, he should just do that every time. Why doesn't he just hit it a mile every time? Like, I don't know. Yeah, because it's not that easy, but... and I totally doubted in preseason because all of the worries about contact and, like, will he make any contact? Well, pretty much that was all true. Like, he's got power. He's not going to make any contact. He's going to hit probably 25 to 26 home runs if he stays in the lineup all year. It's like, so the few leagues that I own him in where I think is worthwhile, I do own him because I think, you know, the power, you know, I assume he'll be streaky just based on his kind of profile as a hitter. So if he gets on a hot streak, keep him on your bench right now because he's ice cold.
Ice cold.
But if he gets on a hot streak, he can hit 10 homers, like Justin Upton. He can hit 10 homers in a month really easy. Like I said, the few weeks when the week at the time when I was irrationally high on him, and I'll admit that, like, that was wrong. Whoa. Big time wrong.
Yeah, well, we all make mistakes.
But, like, I had watched him live and in person and seen him. And the game that I went to that I watched him live, he had four at-bats. He crushed the ball all four times. Two doubles, one out that was – he just – It would have been a double to the gap, and Francisco Lindor jumped 50 feet and caught it out of the air. And, like, you know, every time he was up, he smoked the ball. And it was like, this guy's a great hitter. Like, he just crushes the ball, you know? Yeah. But those guys, they're locked in for a while, and they're crushing the ball, and then they go on a big slump, and then they just miss everything. You know, that's – we've seen those types of hitters over and over and over again. I mean
– Well, two of
Adam
the...
Dunn.
Yeah. He at least made enough contact to, like, hit, you know, 40 bombs a season or whatever. That was a different year, though. Anyway, two guys I want to touch on real quick before we cut this crap out. Michael Franco was one of the lowest.
I thought about saying him, yeah.
Yeah, he struck me as one of the more interesting guys on this list. He is number 14 as far as the lowest BABIP in baseball, 250. So I was just looking at his numbers a little bit right here, hoping to see some really positive signs and not really finding any.
Well, he's the guy that everybody's liked, obviously.
Yeah, and I managed to trade for him in a dynasty league a little earlier this year, which I was pretty stoked. And guess who I traded away to get him as part of the deal? Justin Turner.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, he had been obviously just awful, you know, to that point. And then as soon as I traded him, he caught fire. The guy who I traded him to actually dropped him. This is a 16-team league. He dropped Turner. So somebody
else. So you had him back. Oh, you didn't.
No, I didn't add him back. Oh, I wish I had. Because Franco's not been good. He's got a well below average hard contact rate, 25.6% right now. Not a lot of line drives at all. Hitting a ton of fly balls. And a pop-up rate of 19.7%, which I don't have the leaderboard in front of me, but... that's got to be near the top of the league. So, I mean, that's going to crush your BABIP, kind of like I mentioned with Brian Dozier. He's swinging and missing it more than he has in previous years. So, I honestly don't see a huge season here. You know, maybe he can make some adjustments in the second half and be better. But right now, these are just some struggle bus numbers. But one other guy who I think maybe could offer a glimmer of hope that is also on this list is Matt Holliday.
He just hit a homer 2 seconds ago.
Did he really? Oh, perfect. I'm even got kidding. The game, but my back was to it. Perfect. Well, that ties in very nicely then. He's number 23 on this list, 261 BABIP right now. And if you look at his numbers, he's actually his swing and strike rate is actually lower than it's been. His hard contact rate is right in line with where it's been before. Freaking sweet, 38.8%. So he's not walking quite as much. He's always been a stud in OBP leagues. He's still got a 9% walk rate, you know, so that's not bad. But it's not like the 360, 370 you're hoping for right now. But I think this stuff can get better. 16% strikeout rate, still really nice. He's showing the power with 12 home runs, although he's got a pretty ridiculous homer for fly ball. Well, not ridiculous, I guess 19%. So that's a little high, but this is more of a profile where I see just a lot of bad luck right now, and I think that his batting average will creep up throughout the course of the season. Well, career batting average 305, so I don't know if he'll get there, but I think you see a 280 batting average.
Well, I mean, his career is also like he's
a lot of Coors seasons in there.
I mean, and just seasons of him being one of the best baseball players in the league, which is just not anymore.
So the last two seasons, 272 and 279 for his batting average, with a 298 BABIP and a 335 BABIP last year. So I think he can definitely climb his batting average like 20-25 points the rest of the season.
Yeah, your boy Justin Turner's on this list as well, which, like, I was just murdering you in that Justin Turner, Nick Castellanos bet for...
Oh, my, how the tables have turned.
Well, I think Castellanos is still winning.
Probably still winning.
I think he's still winning every category right now, but they're...
For close. Now!
Now they are all close. I think it is like... I think stolen bases is 0-0, so there's...
All we really want to know is... Does Nate really have a chance this year?
At the board?
For winning on the back? Board, yeah. Not that bet.
It's not.
I'm talking
good.
About everything.
Overall, it's not looking good. For
I will say Nate at least has the balls to make a bet.
Joe had some good ones this year.
When Joe,
normally he's a
usually
oh, come
is
on.
Like, it's his terms or no bet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not true.
The hell it is. I've called you out on that before.
There was last year. You're like, hey, listen, we got Luis Severino and two other guys. We got to make a board bet on it. Let's go. And then I'm
what
like,
I like
oh,
about
I guess.
Nate is if he likes somebody. He'll make a bet, no matter what.
I don't know that that's any more true than me. I think we each have been shown a willingness to bet on our guys. Like I said, I bet Manny Machado versus Todd Frazier,
Joe,
like the 15th third baseman versus like
yeah,
a top
was,
five
that was
guy.
That was the one that I gave you credit
before
for.
Before you get so pissed,
Joe
I've always put
Joe
my
Ross,
money on you.
Joe Ross,
you guys
versus,
make a bet.
Joe Ross versus Tyson Ross this year. The 50th starter versus like the
25th
starter.
Yeah, but you're going to win based on an injury.
No, Joe Ross is
like
better.
Always. Everybody I bet on gets
no,
hurt.
Joe Ross is just better.
Okay, yeah, I've still got a chance at that because Joe Ross has been sucking lately, and Tyson Ross might pitch by like
a couple
August.
Innings.
Yeah.
Yes.
To lower that 11.38 ERA he has right now.
It's like yeah.
Before he went on. Yeah. Trust me, awesome. I know. I own him.
No, I think actually like the first month of the season there was several of the bets where I looked really good, and a lot of them have turned around. Like the Justin Turner one's a perfect example.
You guys
like,
been updating yeah. Wendy's back?
I updated.
No. I don't think you really need to update him more than maybe at mid-season.
Oh, man, I do. That's a lot of work. What do you want me to do? I'm never doing that.
I'm going to take that check out
you can
the website
figure, if you
part.
Wanna, you can go look at what the bets are and just calculate the stats on your own.
Right.
I'm going to take out the checkout my website clip from the beginning and only put it when we update it. So that would like be the cue to go check out the website.
Okay. You can do there that. You go. Verbal cue.
Because, yeah, it's not a daily updated website.
All right. Yeah. No,
sorry.
Not by any means. All right. We're going to take break number two here and come back with some... We have returned to the nastiest of casts to close out this show. We're going to bring you our BS segment of the week in an episode which shall be released on the very next day.
Or at a time to be determined.
Most likely the very next day.
Yeah, because the cat came back.
The very next day. Thought he was a goner, but the cat came back.
Speaking of which, is that...
Have you watched that yet?
No,
I'm
but...
I may.
Damn it.
That's a song by
I made
like...
double bonus... both episodes tonight, and then we'll triple bonus. Triple in-your-face bonus tomorrow's Prospect Pod that we're talking about in the
man,
future.
There's a lot of podcasts that we're releasing.
Boy,
right
we're
going to
talk
so
about
many.
The podcast pod. I have to release
but
it.
But by the way, have you ever heard this song? Have you ever heard this song? I'm pretty sure it's... God, I can't think of the band.
It's a weird name for a song.
Yes, I can't think of the band is the greatest song title yeah. of all time.
Well, that's the greatest band title of all time.
No,
I can't think of the name
band.
Of that band. Yeah, no. Yeah.
I guess I just got to Google it. But
Pearl Jam song.
My life.
What?
My sacrifice.
Oh, my God. Oh, Creed, okay.
No, it's not Creed. But it's kind of a
Creed
Creed-y
bomb,
song.
Baby.
Creed Theory bomb. Of a Dead Man. There wow. you go. The Bitch Came Back.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a straight ripoff of The Cat Came Back. Back.
Yeah. Have you heard that
song?
Hardcore metal
oh, I'm well aware.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what it is then, huh?
Yeah, that's probably why I thought it was less clever than most people did when it came out.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, because, that was what I definitely heard before that. So that's what they're doing, huh?
Pretty
you know,
much.
Okay.
not to go back to that DMF podcast.
That seems
that
just wrong, doesn't
last
it?
Night,
they're just ripping that off.
I don't care for it.
At the end of that show, they talked about music.
They
and
did.
If we were to, like, talk about music for 20, 25 minutes on our show like they did last night, I wouldn't talk. I don't do music anymore.
Music,
music isn't... I used to love music. I was a huge Alkaline Trio fan, believe it or not. They're
I like
still,
Alkaline Trio.
I would still say they're my favorite band of all time. But
you did
I don't even listen to anybody anymore. I don't listen to music. Ever.
Not anybody new anyway, huh?
No, I don't listen to music.
Yeah, but you can go back to the past.
I don't listen
back
to music.
Back in time, if you back
like,
in time.
Like, my, if I were to find my... if I were to go to my iTunes and push
the
play,
Jesse Jordan
I'd find
that
a lot
I know,
of terrible
I mean,
music.
He used to play the bass guitar, and he used to...
I know.
He could rock out the song Jesse's Girl.
I still have that bass guitar. That bass guitar. And if I am going to listen to music, I mean, every once in a while. I still, like, sing Alkaline Trio's songs in my head.
Sure.
Like, as
a great band.
The other day I was singing one. But, that would be the only thing I could bring up anymore, because that's the only music I listened to in the last 10 years. I don't listen to music. Like, I'm stuck on, like, GNR still, Guns N' Roses. But I don't put a CD.
So nothing
the last
new.
Time I put a CD in one of my vehicles, it was John LaJoie, John LaJoy from The League. And it was,
oh, that's kind of funny.
I'm your average everyday normal guy, mother. Yeah. Or I come too Talk fast, about. Or, you know. Yeah,
that's not exactly.
Two Girls, One Cup song, which is by far the greatest part of the whole Two Girls, One Cup internet thrill,
yeah,
was his song.
I can't remember the song at all, but if there was a song, but it's almost making me want to throw up just to make
or sure, high as
just to say the
high
words.
As I the whole high as you know FUCK. I don't want to edit anymore, so
yeah.
That whole like thing that I always do is actually a stolen from his song there, because have you ever watched the sun go down while you're thinking about the world spin round. Have you ever been high as fudge?
Is that what the words are?
Except for CK. But
nice.
Yeah. No, it's so good. You gotta watch. I'm a huge John LaJoie fan.
LaJoie.
Back John LaJoie. Back before he was ever on The League.
French Canadian.
Yes.
LaJoie.
He is my favorite comedian.
Yeah, him and McBride.
But that's how stuck I am in 2008. Like,
yeah.
I don't listen to music.
You need to move on from 2008.
I don't listen to,
actually,
don't YouTube.
Based on this, I think next week's whatever the BS is going to be music related.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
I'm still stuck on the PD era.
I still do love music, obviously. So
I don't, but I did hear Weezer's coming to North Dakota soon.
Yeah.
Which would go right with the 90s thing about... No.
I'm pretty.
Really nice. I'm a huge Weezer fan.
I'm considering going, actually.
But like, that's why I'm stuck in 2008 with music, because I still love Weezer.
Yeah,
good point. Fair enough. All right. Anything else to add before we peace out?
Do you love Weezer? Send us your favorite Weezer.
We're at the end of the show. Very confusing for us.
You know what? Before next week's show, I'm going to make a big promise here. Not just to YouTube, but to the listeners of the show.
You're really going against your own catchphrase here
To tweet. Well, I'm not setting an expectation. I'm just saying I'm going to make one promise of tweeting out whatever the bullshit's going to be at least an hour before we record. So hopefully we get some input.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about the baseball input.
So watch the tweet box.
Yes.
What you're saying.
Tweet box.
Follow us at Fantasy Amateurs.
All right.
Follow us.
Anyways.
All right.
Peace.
We'll see you guys twice again this next week with some BS and the Prospect Podcast. Until then, Fantasy Gods, shine upon you.